Blog Talk Radio.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you want to be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say you're moving on. Then you say I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh, you're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me.
So what is the Real Talk for Real People show? This show designed to help you move in the right direction, meaning to get you to know your creator, your almighty, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a bird's eye view, a critical analysis and assessment, leaving no stone, no leaf unturned, crossing every T and dotting every I, so we can come to some firm conclusion. Now, the investigative students on this show, we're not your leaders. We just sort of lead you along into your studies so you can get a better picture of the context. And then once you've gotten a better picture of the context, make the right application in your life. Don't take our word for it. Study for yourself. And continue to study. Let it be a everyday pursuit. Now, some of the lead students, investigators, is Katria from New York City, Sister Yehudi of Detroit, Michigan, Ezekiel of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and Yakira from Hawaii. Yours truly, Yamsuf Arif. Praise the Almighty and bless his holy name. But before we get started in our studies, I want to make some comments on contemporary subject matters. I don't think, it ain't my business. But now, if he was to ask me about getting involved with the Russians in Ukraine, I would tell him to sit this one out. It may get real ugly. You may open up a can of worms or write a check that you're behind can't cash. Because them people crazy. They're far crazier than the ones over here. Yes, they're crazy too over here. But there's a lot of crazies over there, especially in a totalitarian government. And this, America is a totalitarian government in itself. It just paints a facade of being democratic. As you can see, the way they are treating so-called black people, dark people, no people, as far as its voting is concerned. And they brought some attention to Democrats, to Kristen Sinema in her state of Arizona. They censored her. Said, heifer, you better get right or get ghost. Can't blame them if they play that game. They ought to do the same thing to old Joe Manchino. I mean, Joe Manchin of West Virginia. His daddy was a Republican. His daddy before that was a Republican. His daddy before that was, now he's a Democrat in name only. That's why I don't put too much stock in these politics. Because one can say they're a Republican today and be a Democrat tomorrow and vice versa. Universal right, racist privilege have a way of hiding behind names and labels and organizations. As in the case of Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin. And also, the violence has been escalating in our communities. Children are about dying everywhere because some tough guy, some tough girl, they want to show up and show out and showboat. Shoot guns all over the neighborhood indiscriminately. This is the case of Chicago, Illinois, and so on and so forth. 8-year-old girl dispatched because of the madness, and we're crazy as we want to be. And why are we crazy as we want to be? Because we lean to our own understanding. We emulate our oppressors. We don't follow our creator. And thus the outcome is inevitable. It's true. That being said, let me bring on Sister Hoody from Detroit, Michigan. Sister Hoody, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is high. Shalom.
Well, shalom, shalom, shalom. Peace be with you, as they say. Shalom, peace be with you.
Praise
How are you?
I'm doing okay, sir. I'm doing okay. What about yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad. It's chilly here. The temperature. We got a little snow and woke up this morning. Our temperature was 16 degrees.
Yeah, I think tomorrow our temperature in Memphis is supposed to be, I think, 18, the low.
That is so weird because we've been thinking always that the southern states are hot around this, you know.
Today was rather pleasant. I think the margin dynamics is going to change up a little bit. I think the high is going to be 35, and the low is going to be 18. Right.
Mm-hmm. Because normally you think, okay, at night it's like in the 40s and 50s, but in the day it's between maybe 60 and 90 degrees. That's a long range. But never, I have a family member in Atlanta, she said it's gotten down to 30 degrees. I'm like, really? Oh, that's warm to us.
No, tomorrow's going to be a cold one, Sister Hootie. I mean, in the teens, it's going to be a cold one tomorrow.
Now, the teens, yeah, that's what's so weird. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I've never known the South being in the teens. That's what I'm saying.
It's not a rare occasion. It's not a rare occasion.
It's not?
But the Most High is in charge of everything, so I can't question it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was mm-hmm. ready to say that, you know, we're living in a time, there's signs everywhere, isn't it?
Exactly.
And we need to take these of some signs, too.
Exactly.
But when Cottrell come on, I got a question, because I could ask you, too. I'm trying to think of the senator that said, didn't call African-Americans, he just said African. Or he said
the turtle fellow. Mitch McConnell from Kentucky, the turtle, the Ninja Turtle guy.
He didn't make no slip. He did that on purpose. He's racist.
He said what he believes. He said what he said. African Americans like Americans. Hold on. What are you saying? African American like Americans?
No, he didn't.
Are they the same?
I don't think he said Americans to us. Uh-huh. I think he said Americans and Africans. He didn't call us African American.
From what I heard, I could say it correct. He said African Americans are like other Americans.
I don't know, because I was watching it.
African American vote is. Yeah, African American vote as much as other Americans.
Well, we're going to get, well,
said,
I'm going to be quiet. We're going to get back real long. We're going to
He said what he meant. Yeah. All right.
That's the main point.
All right. Well, then, let us bring you on Cottrell. Cottrell from New York City. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is out. Shalom.
Shalom. Bless you all my soul and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Shalom, family. How you doing?
Okay,
my brother. Okay.
How are you?
Oh, you got Joseph. Hey, you know what? Sister Hootie, I think he's feeling some sort of way. You know, when we was in the executive elders meeting this past weekend, and Ima Hadora came on, and she showed me a whole lot of love. Then Katria gonna come on talk about why you got to do it like that with him.
Yes, share the love, Iman. Share the love. We love you too.
Seniority. You both have seniority, Yamsu.
I can't help but one of her favorite rights. You know, you got a favorite child. I just happen to be one of them. That's all. It surprised me out of all the sisters that tell either. I'm just joking about Cartier and Sister Healer. She mentioned it too. Oh, it's like that now. Hey, Daisy. That's how you call it. Hey, Daisy. When she talked to Katrina, Sister Yehuda. Hey, Katrina. Uh-huh. Hey, Katrina. What? Hey, Mo Ray, Katrina.
It's a good thing that Elder Yakina came on a little bit later, because he would have felt the way too.
Okay.
Oh, for real?
Yep.
Yeah. You call her mother.
He came on a little bit later. He didn't hear the introductions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but getting back to Moscow Mitch, he's talking about the African American vote and the American vote as it's two distinct different things.
Yeah.
So he doesn't look at African Americans as pure 100% American.
Right.
African.
Right. He meant what he said. So, he said what he meant.
The fact that we fought in every war this country's ever been in means nothing to them because they treat us the way they do.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they see us that way is you got another political game. And the political game is dangerous right now because you got sleepy Joe Biden at the wheel. And he about to scruff it up with Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, he better write a check his behind gay cash.
That's what they did in Afghanistan, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And how much did they lose? $20 trillion over 10 years?
And then, you know what, Cottrell, and Sister Hootie. I hear the talking heads be talking on lamestream media. And the lamestream media is trying to send him out. As if the Afghanistan didn't run the Russian out of there too. Now, but see, they seeing the way the Russian ran them up out of there. But truth be told, the Afghanistan ran the Russians up there out of there.
Americans, you can say.
No, they ran the Russians out of there. The Russian had invaded.
Oh, so what are you saying? Well, we know they ran the Russians.
Right.
Just like,
so they were saying since Judy Lake, the Russians see him as weak. How can they see him as weak when in fact the Afghanistan beat them too? So, I mean, they must be weak too, if that's the case.
Well, you know, whenever, just like in Vietnam, now you know, well, I'm a history buff.
Right.
Whenever you go into somebody's country, they know the lay of the land.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So they got the advantage.
Exactly.
So Afghanistan's had the advantage. See, now people are recognizing, well, it's always been that way, but small reconnaissance. You don't need the big tanks and the ships and all that because you still
right.
got your butt in Vietnam.
Right.
You had to vacate very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Like
had to leave Knocked the French out of there. The French came saying they ran them out of there, too, in Vietnam.
And do you blame them?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Parker.
The West has a long track record of separating peoples, right? They did it in Korea. So you got North and South Korea. They did it in Vietnam. Now you got North and South Vietnam. Really?
No, I think
it wasn't
they unified it, Cottrell. Let me correct you on that, Cottrell. They tried to do it in Vietnam. They tried to separate them. But the North Vietnamese beat South Vietnamese, and they unified the country.
But that's
back.
What he's
they
saying.
They tried to do
that's
that. Yeah.
That's what he's saying. He's giving you a little history.
Right.
Go ahead, Patrick. Yeah.
As I was saying, the West has a history of dividing nations based on their doctrines and philosophies, whether it's communism or democracy. So you separated North Korea from South Korea. You separated North Vietnam from South Vietnam. And half of those countries put y'all in check. They wasn't really fighting y'all united, like all of North Korea fighting in the West, all of Korea, not just the North, fighting the West. Imagine if it was all of Korea fighting the West and all of Vietnam fighting the West. So my half a country beating a superpower. And then you talk about Afghanistan. So you have Europeans who think that their military might is the answer to war. They've been proving that with all the military might that you have, you could still be beaten.
Mm-hmm. Or they think, you know, it's just like anything else. Somebody bigger than you pick on you, of course you're going to be intimidated. But they realize that just because of all the firepower they have doesn't mean anything anymore. Like, I used to think, wow, you know, because there are things that the military have that is amazing. I mean, in terms of what they've done, but I agree with really both of them, just knowing the history. You know, it's like Rome. Rome had its day where it controlled a lot of the earth countries, and it stretched out too much. And it's like you say, it's self-preservation. Each nation wants to put their ideals, like you said, on another nation, and it's for security reasons. So even if it's not right, this is what nations do. So that's what history dictates to us.
Unfortunately, we live in a time where they have weapons that can blow the earth up, what they say, 300 times. And the earth is more volatile now. We like living in the days of Noah. The Most High said, it grieves me that I made man, because man is evil from his youth. And why do you say that? Because there was so much violence in the earth. And that's what it is now. You talk about the gun violence in America. There's more guns than people in America.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about the weather. Imagine coming over here butt naked on slave ships with the weather conditions we deal with today. At least we've got clothes and a place to heat ourselves. Our slave ancestors, they suffered during this time of the year.
Wow. That's true. That's true. And even in the South, like when Yamsu said, it's not uncommon you know, I had assumed little what I did know that the nighttime was chilly, it was cold, you know, but I always thought that your Midwest and your East states were colder, you know, but hey, the Most High got this. He's doing what he's doing, so I accept that.
Praise God. Thank you, Sister Yuda. Thank you, Contrail. Thank you, fellow students. And now we're going to get into a chapter. If Contrail and Sister Yuda have done with the commentaries, chapter 19 of Isaiah. And I want you to give you a small synopsis before we get into it. Now, the things that are transpiring are things at that momentary time, and things are futuristic for us. This pronouncement against Mizraim. Because you would assume by what the Arabs tell you and universal white race supremacists that the Mizraims were Ishmael. The Mizraim were not Ishmael, not the people over there now. They were quite different. And sometimes right. We get mistaken in this captivity. And you make the assumption, because we were captured, well, Mizraims were captured too. And they look remotely like us. And so sometimes there is that embedded innate animosity. All skin ain't kin. All skin ain't kin. There's Hamites and there's Shemites. So therefore, if you find, and then that's where the confusion comes in. They think all skin is kin. All skin ain't kin. And so you have Hamites that were taken into captivity, and you have Shemites that were taken into captivity. You had some there at that time frame, and it's talking about the futuristic too. So don't get caught up in the skin game. Skin game ain't always kin game, okay? Let's study. May the Most High bless us, direct us, and order our steps so that we won't lean to our own understanding and we can make the right application. Praise y'all. Now, this pronouncement is going against misery. Egypt, some of you like to call it. Mounted on a swift cloud, the Elohim will come to misery. Misery's idol shall tremble before him, which he did. That's why you ain't got much to talk about him now. And the heart of the Mizraims shall sink within them. He will incite misery against misery. They turned on one another, and they certainly did. Remember Cleopatra? And so on and so forth. It was Mizraims fighting Mizraims. They shall war with each other, every man with his fellow, city with city, kingdom with kingdom. Mizraim shall be drained of spirit, which it is, because it's not the original country. You have migrants there who have taken over. Ishmael, who said that they are Mizraim. They were never Mizraim. They never ain't Mizraim. Just because you say you are, that don't make heels. Mizraim shall be drained of spirit. And I will confound his plans. You know why? Why y'all did that? I'm going to tell you. We had a habit, just like in the very beginning, of wanting to go back. Dayton, remember Dayton? The golden calf? Well, they wanted to go back. They thought that was better. Even when we got our land and we were in authority and everything, we had brothers who still want to go back to misery, and they still want to get down with the other idols. So that's one component why Yah destroyed misery altogether, because our brothers and sisters, some of them, still held them in awe. They are all their idols and all, you know, and I'm pretty sure some of them probably snuck some in their baggage, you know, when we left there the first time, when the Most High freed us and redeemed us from there. I will confound his plans. So they will consult the idols in the shade, the ghosts of the familiar spirits. And I will place the Mizraims in the mercy of a harsh master. And a ruthless king shall rule over them, declares the sovereign, the Elohim of hosts. I suspect that ruthless king was someone like the Assyrians, but they were not much so like the Assyrians. You have to come. Think about it. You have to study history like Sushi Hudi said. You had the Greek invasion, You had the Roman invasion. These people were quite harsh toward these miserables. And I don't know about the treatment towards the Assyrians talked to him, mistreated. I'm pretty sure they did. But the Romans and the Greeks were rather harsh on him.
In
Assyrians?
The Assyrians were a cruel people.
Okay.
But the reference, I believe it's to Alexander the Great and the Greeks that really demolished all of them.
Three of them. Cartier's right. The Assyrians, the Greeks, Alexander the so-called Great, and the Romans. They were rather harsh taskmasters. Waters shall fail from the seas. Rivers dry up and be parched. Channels turn foul as they ebb in their country. And Mizarin's channels run dry. Reed and rush shall decay. And the Nile Papyrus by the Nile side, and everything sown by the Nile, shall wither and blow away and vanish. The fishermen shall lament. All who cast lines in the Nile shall moan. And those who spread nets on the water shall languish. Flax workers, too, shall be dismayed. Both carters and weavers shall rest. A foundation shall be crushed. Most High broke her. And all who make dams shall be despondent. They can't revive her, not like she used to be. Other fools are the nobles of Tanish, ancient Mizarin, the sages of Pharaoh's advisors, and made absurd predictions. How can you say to Pharaoh, I'm a scorn of sages, a scorn of Kedemite kings? Where indeed are your sages? Let them tell you. Let them discover what the Elohim of hosts has planned against Mizarin. The nobles of Tanish have been fools. Nobles of Memphis, deluded. Mizarin has been led astray by their idols, by chiefs and of her tribes. The Elohim have mixed within her a spirit of distortion. Most High can put a spirit of distortion upon her, which led Mizarin astray and all her understanding, which happened, look at her now. As a vomiting drunkard goes astray, nothing shall be achieved in misery, and nothing is. Now, is it? The evidence doesn't lie. By either head or tail, palm branch or reed, when the Most High put it on you, it's on you. And that day the miseries shall be like women, trembling and terrified, because the Elohim of hosts will raise his hand against them. And the land of Yehuda shall also be in dread, shall be the dread of the miseries. Yehuda got their boxes in. They shall quake whenever anybody mentions it to them. That's why they hate us now. That's why I told y'all, be careful if you think skin is kin. If you wonder why some so-called black folk in the community are killing one another, that's innate animosity that's involved, because you had Mizarines and Shemites taking a right along into captivity by the Assyrians, by the Greeks, by the Romans, and by this last captivity that we're in. So when you say, hey, man, why you black folks always killing all? Because you got different skin game and kin game. And so when you see these animosities, it's not always, I'm not saying that it's not kin that's not doing some of this. But all skin game ain't kin game. So you got to, when you study this, you can have an understanding why there are certain animosities in our so-called communities, because everybody is not Shemitic. You have Hamites among us too. This looks somewhat remotely like us. And that day, there shall be several towns in the land of Mizarin speaking the language of Canaan, swearing loyalty to the Elohim of hosts. Think about that. Even though they're not, they are kin in a sense, because you had Ham, Shem, and Japhet. We are kin. Truth be told. So don't get the game twisted. But there are Hamitic people among them who praise Yah. I didn't say it. Yah said it. Let's read it again. I think I'm lying.
What verse?
And verse 18. In that day there should be several towns in the land of Mizraim, speaking the language of Canaan, swearing loyalty to the Elohim of hosts. One shall be called town of Henries, an earthen pot. It's mean. And not only did it apply at that time, it's futuristic in time to come. And that day there should be an altar to the Elohim, because there was not an altar to the Elohim by my recollection or studies in that land at that time, but in this futuristic time to come. And that day there should be an altar to the Elohim inside the land of Mizraim, and a pillar to Yah at his borders. That hadn't come yet. That's futuristic. They should serve as a symbol and a reminder of the Elohim of hosts in the land of Mizraim, so that the Mizraimites cry out to the Elohim against oppressors. He will send them a savior, a champion to deliver them, the same one we're going to get. For the Elohim will make himself known to the Mizraimites. See, they don't know him like we know him. And the Mizraimites shall acknowledge Yah in that day. That didn't happen. It's to come. And they shall serve him with sacrifices and oblation, and make vows to Yah and fulfill them. They're going to complete their obligation. The Elohim will first afflict, then heal the Mizraimites. He loved them. Why? Because they are our brothers. Ham, Shem, and Japheth were brothers. When he turned back to Yah, because they left Yah. When he left Noah, he sort of got away from Yah. He will respond to their entreaties and hear them. And that day, there will be a highway from Mizraim to Assyria. The Assyrians shall join with the Mizraims, and the Mizraims with the Assyrians, even them. And then the Mizraims, together with the Assyrians, will serve the Elohim. See, you can't stop, folks. See, a lot of y'all need to stop it. You're doing too much. Y'all going to save some Assyrians. I mean, I love that we Israel. That's a beautiful thing. But read it in its entirety, in its context. He got some love for Assyrians too. Because our job was this, Hebrew Israelites, was to be faithful to Yah, take care of one another, and draw all nations to Yah. We dropped the ball, so don't be mad. Okay? Because that's what's the job. It wasn't there to be just something special. It was there to be something special to draw all nations to the Most High. That was our job. So if y'all say he loved him some Assyria, who are you? Who is Young Sue? Get off your high horse. Get on your job. And in conclusion, and then the Mizraimites together with the Assyrians will serve the Elohim. That's beautiful. Don't be hating. And that day Israel should be a third partner. We're going to be partners with Mizraim and Assyria as a blessing on earth, because you know we look alike, right? Y'all know the Mizraims and the Assyrians look like us, right? Y'all know the Mizraims were Hamites, and Hamites were kinfolk with Shem. They were brothers, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Okay? So don't hate on what the Most High says, and that's a beautiful thing. For the Elohim of the host will bless them, and you can't stop it, saying, blessed be my people, Mizraim, my handiwork, Assyria, and my very own, my something special people that need to get that special mind right, Israel. Praise Yah. Katriel, Sister Shehudi, may the Most High bless you. You have the mic.
Yeah, mine reads as 24:25. It says, in that day, I'm not saying your interpretation is wrong at all, okay? In that day, Israel shall be one of three with Egypt and Syria, even a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom Yah's host shall bless, saying, blessed Egypt, my people, and Syria, the work of my hand, and Israel, my inheritance. That is so cool. Because he talks about Egypt being his. I think even, I don't know if it's Nigeria or the Nubian, Kush. So we're not really exclusive as we think we are, because there's so much in this book. Tells you, he said who his people is and the work that he will be. Okay.
Okay. How did yours read, brother?
Similar to how Sister Yehudi's read.
Mm-hmm.
On that day, Israel will be third party to Egypt and Assyria. Uh-huh. It doesn't say Syria, it says Assyria. A blessing in the midst of the earth, whom Yah hosts has blessed, saying, blessed is Mizraim, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance.
Well, didn't I just read that? Hold on. Let's go back. I mean, that's what I read. Wait, hold on, Katrina. Hold on. Oh, so in that day, Israel should be a third party with Mizraim in Assyria as a blessing on earth, for the Elohim of hosts will bless them, saying, blessed be my people, Mizraim, and my handiwork of Assyria, and my very own Israel. One and the same.
No, okay. Inheritance is different from my very own.
Okay, well, and we study, and we all study. We know my very own meaning. It says, Israel is a peculiar people. He is the most high chosen people. Everybody knows that, or should know it. That's why we study.
Right. This, for my reasoning is, so the listeners, see, I'm always thinking of other people. I'm thinking whoever's listening, because you have the King James Version scripture, and it doesn't. That's when I said, when I repeat stuff, it does not in any form to say what you're reading is incorrect. It's
right.
Just that some people may not understand it, so we bring in.
But see, that's why I ask the students. Do not take my word for it. Don't take your word for it. Don't take Katria's word for it. I mean, you study and you put it together, you're going to come out with one conclusion to find analysis.
Right.
Don't take my word for it, because I don't have all the sense in the world.
We don't have it all.
Yeah.
We're not saying
yeah.
that. But it's just to help the readers, because I know what book you're reading from.
Yeah, it's a knock. Yeah.
And some may not, and it may be some beginners. So we're being considered over people, and then they can meditate over those words. So when that's all it is.
Yeah, no, I don't take offense by it. I ain't no fool. I mean, only a fool would take offense with correction.
Oh,
but
I
what
know
I'm saying, yeah,
okay,
no, so Judy, what I'm saying is this: take both studies. All three versions and interpretations or whatnot. And then you come to the same, we all come to the same conclusion here.
And we come to the same conclusion.
Same conclusion.
Thing.
Yeah,
there
so that's all, sister. That's what it's all about, just coming to the same
right.
conclusion. Because we all concur on the same conclusion. All right. Well, look here. I'm going to let Sister Hootie, if you're done, I'm going to let Cartrell, then I'll bring on Ezekiel. He's on. He had Johnny coming lately. Better late than never.
I love him coming, period. Nah. Here y'all go. Oh, here we go. Go ahead.
Yeah, better late than never. Johnny come lately.
Well, I would like to finish if I can.
Okay. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. In this particular chapter, the Most High shown us the futuristic world that's to come. And he's shown us the people that's on the bottom right now, the Hamite people, the Shemite people, they're going to be the blessing that's in the earth. Egypt, people are still wondering about the marvels of Egypt right now, even though the Most High put this on them. And it's funny because he put it like, Christians see Jesus coming. Behold, Yah is riding on a swift cloud and is about to come to Egypt. That's how he's talking about Jesus, right? And why is he coming to Egypt like that? Because of the idols that Egypt had. When you look at ancient Egypt, all they had was idols. And the Most High had to shut them down. And he turned them against each other to the degree where Egypt is in ruins to this very day. The land is parched and dry. The canals don't emit, the blessing that they used to in ancient Egypt. The land is dried up. So the Most High puts that on them as evidence of his work in the earth. Because Egypt is so critical in what Yah has done with the nation of Israel and how he makes his presence felt amongst all the nations. So everybody know about Egypt. And Egypt is going to be prominent again, but not like they're trying to do it now, where they put their roles to their images in the world of the Egyptians, we're going to see the true Hamite Egyptians. And how you know? He's saying they're associating with the Canaanites, who are their brothers. And everybody know the Canaanites and Hamites. And y'all trying to say the Hamites was cursed by God. But here, the Most High showing you that the Hamites and the Shemites are going to be blessings in the earth.
Right. Thank you. That's cool. Thank you, Cartier.
Yes, ma'am. And you said, if you look them up, they look just like us.
Yes.
Big beards, dark skin. You cannot tell the difference between us and them. As a matter of fact, at ancient times, we married Egyptians. Wasn't Joseph's wife an Egyptian? Wasn't the brothers that came to Egypt, then they married Egyptian women out of this? Yeah.
Right.
That's why we love Egypt so much. Mm-hmm. Even up to the last king of Israel, Zedekiah, he asked the prophet Jeremiah, what shall we do? What shall we do? Jeremiah told him, don't go to Egypt. And they said, oh, no, we ain't going to listen to it, Yah, so we going to Egypt.
Egypt,
before
anyway.
He went to Egypt, the king of Babylon caught him and killed his son, right before his eyes, and then blinded him. And we all have that propensity not to run north, but into Africa, Egypt, the Israelites, because he blended in with the people. Yeah.
Contrio. You mentioned the fact Assyria. Wouldn't that suggest and further imply that the Assyrians look like us too?
Yeah, they come from where Abraham came from, Chaldea, Babylon, that region. Yes. So, all you gotta do is look them up, Google it, Bing it. Look at the images of the imperial god. Them people are darker than me.
Exactly. But the way they got them in southeast Turkey and north Iraq, they don't look nothing like the Assyrians back in the day.
Or when they portray them in the movies, like the movie The 300, they were supposed to be fighting the Persians.
Right.
These are the same people, but they portrayed them as European looking. And these people didn't look nothing like the Europeans. Just like they take over the Egyptian images, right? Ten Commandments. How is Yul Brynner from Russia playing the role of a black pharaoh, king of Egypt? Because he got a bald head and an accent. So let it be written, so let it be done. Yul Brynner.
You're watching too much.
That's the great deception.
They
don't teach us the truth. That's the brainwash thing. Most of our people watch too much Hollywood, and they're not watching the books.
No, you
so
don't.
Let it be written, so let it be done.
Hey, guy from Russia is playing a Hamite pharaoh. Okay. Gog and Magog or whatever. He's playing a Hamite pharaoh. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And we swallow it, hook, line, and sinker.
It's
so spectacular. Yeah.
Too much Hollywood, brother.
And Hollywood is the great deceiver.
It certainly is. Yeah. It certainly is, Cartrio.
Tell our business.
Whitewashed.
That's how they do it.
Right.
So you don't question anything. Well, I saw it on the Ten Commandments. The Egyptians, they're white.
I saw it on Netflix. It's the truth. Man, we saw this country. But they challenged what we said. Oh, you niggas don't know nothing. The white man showed it on TV. Which way did the white man go? He got it on Netflix. Y'all liars.
And y'all, so you know they got things called museums, right, where they display Egyptian artwork, ancient Egyptian artwork. As a matter of fact, they had a museum, Brooklyn Museum. They were showing ancient Egyptian artifacts. I took my family to the museum to see the ancient Egyptian artifacts, and lo and behold, the ancient Egyptians look exactly like us. We were pointing out people like, this is like Sister Judy. This is like Ben Ami. And the Egyptian, they look just like us.
Exactly. But like I said, you know, these newfangled miserines, they don't look nothing like the ancient ones.
What they did, though, they broke the noses off most of the statues. Mm-hmm. And curiously enough, we got such unique noses in the earth, don't we?
Yeah. But they left the ones with aquiline Ishmael noses. A Greek nose and a Roman nose.
They don't
even
look like them.
Right.
They don't even look like them.
Okay. Yeah. Can we bring Ezekiel on, fellas?
Bacatria, are you done, my brother?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, let's bring on Ezekiel. Ezekiel, may the Most God bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom. May the Most God bless you.
Hallelujah.
Ezekiel?
Is he becoming an elder? He on you?
Oh, I think I got the right.
What happened? Yeah,
okay, shalom, hello.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
Wait,
I'm sorry, I just popped on. Hi,
yeah,
everybody. This is Ezekiel's wife. My name is Zaquan. His phone. I've been listening there for a few weeks.
Okay.
And he's not on. So I tried to text him to text one of you guys to let you know it was me, but I'm just popping on just to not be rude and, you know, let you guys know that he's actually welcome. Thank you.
Hold
I've been
on,
listening for a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Hold on, sister. I think he is on, and his phone number is coming from that area. So I think he is on. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well,
but
let me
go. It's nice to hear from you anyway. Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
I'm from everybody.
May the Most High bless you.
What's your name, sister?
Zaquan.
Zaquan.
Okay. Ezekiel, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Sure. Ezekiel? I guess she's right. We stand corrected. Someone else
mm-hmm.
listening. Yeah, okay. All right. I guess he ain't on. I guess, you know, why know where their husband's at? Ask the wife. She better know where he at. Now he going to have some problems. All right.
Uh-huh.
All right, Sister Yehudi. May the Most High bless you. We're ready for another segment of study in the book of Proverbs.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, and this one awesome. You know who. Proverbs 10.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he said he's not on. It's to me. Okay. About King Solomon. This is going to be interesting, and I know y'all going to have a lot to say in prayer.
We're not gonna interrupt you, but we're gonna come back.
That's
yeah.
okay.
We'll come back over. We're gonna pick everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. No problem. I like discussing on Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a father rejoice, and a foolish son is his mother's sorrow. Oh yes, he is.
It's, well, I said I wasn't gonna send him, but I'm gonna send something for a quarter. Young Sue was an ex-fool. I made my mother, I was grieved for my mother, and I called her quite recently. I said,
mm-hmm.
Mama, I said, you know, I was a handful. She said, yep, you was. You know, I had 7 brothers and 5 sisters. I did enough trouble all by myself. The other brothers
mm-hmm.
and sisters didn't get in trouble. And I had to call and apologize to my mama for being grieved to her. And that is so true. Take an ex-fool's advice.
So tonight, but you know what the greatest blessing in the world, what you know, but I'm gonna say this so for the other people, that your mother's still here.
Yep.
She's seen the kind of man that you are today, and that is great.
Matter of fact, she called me today, so she was out of the blue.
Well, called wonderful.
Yeah, just said she loved me. I said, I love you too, Mama. But,
yeah.
But at that time, when I was a teenager and preteen, I was a crash dummy waiting to happen, okay?
But you know what? You're not a crash dummy now. You're just the educated fool. No.
You need to stop hanging with Cartrell, see? Please stop hanging with Cartrell. Don't hate, participate.
I couldn't resist.
Now, you know, that's what I told him in the meeting, the executive elders meeting this past Sunday. I said, Contra, I don't hate participating, brother.
I don't know. You're just good for the pickings. Anyway, verse 2. This is what I like. Treasures of wrongness are of no value. Treasures. Just all the stuff that people, America's got too much stuff. And it's no value. But righteousness delivers from death. Yah does not let the being of the righteous go hungry, but he thirsts away the desire of the wrong. Otherwise, you just said it. You don't feel like you don't want to do wrong.
No, you don't, sir.
You don't, but now, no. Cartier don't, I don't.
Yeah. So we're elders. We know by past experience and our observation that you read what you say, and karma does not play. You read what you say.
Poor is he who works with a lazy hand. Mm. But the hand of the hard worker makes rich. He who gathers a summer in a wise son, he who gathers in summer is a wise son.
Mm-hmm.
He who sleeps in harvest is a son who calls shame. He ain't working, he lazy. Blessings are the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wrong. Mm-hmm. It does.
That's all they do, talk balance. That's all they do, talk balance. Praise of who want to be.
The remembrance of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wrong ones rot. The wise in heart accepts command. Mm-hmm. But one with foolish lip, he who walks in integrity walks safely, but he who perverts his ways become known. Yeah, I know a lot of people, they don't walk too straight. You know, they perverted.
Exactly.
He who weeps with the eye causes sorrow, really. And one with foolish lips falls. That's true. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. You agree with that?
Yes, ma'am, I certainly do.
Thank you. I just love this. But violence covers the mouth of the wrong.
Listen to their rap songs. Listen to some of their rap songs.
You said hatred stirs up strife. You just said it.
Mm-hmm.
But love covers all transgressions.
Can I make mention of that, Sister Hootie?
Mm-hmm.
My brother and I was talking over this weekend. We were talking about one person in particular. And I said, you know, bruh, I love them, but that don't mean I have to forgive them. Because if they didn't, how can you forgive somebody if they don't come and you say, hey, man, I'm sorry. I can love you, but I cannot forgive your mistreatment unless you acknowledge it. How can you forgive somebody and they made no acknowledgement? And I know it kills me when I see Shemites on in the news talking about somebody raped and killed and robbed and murdered the whole household. I'd have forgave them. No. Love may cover that. I can't forgive you for that. As a matter of fact, here's my suggestion to those that may do something like that. Won't you dispatch yourself readily and go to those that you dispatched from my life and ask them for your forgiveness for taking their lives? Mm-hmm. For raping them and murdering them, little children, women, innocent people, and so on and so forth, homeless people. I can't forgive you for that. You didn't do it to me. You did it to them. Now, love can cover that, but I can't forgive you for that because you didn't do it to me. And even if you did something to me and you didn't come and acknowledge to me, how can I forgive you for something that you didn't acknowledge? But love can cover it, though. You understand what I'm saying, Sister Hootie?
Mm-hmm. I get what you're saying. And with that, I've always fought against the grain. I said, you know, for example, I have forgiven an individual because that person stopped hurting me. But at the same time, I allowed it. Not that I purposely allowed it, but sometimes we are in toxic relationships.
Yeah. But So, Jude, did the person ask you to forgive you, to forgive him?
Later on, much later, over the years.
Okay, that's cool then. But what if a person...
But I'll never forget. But I'll never forget.
Right, okay. But what if a person kept doing something to you and never acknowledged the wrong they did to you, and it was horrendous? Can you just love that away? I can cover it with love, but it
don't
go
away.
Yeah.
You got to walk away.
Yeah, get away from it.
Walk away. Because in 13, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding.
Right.
But a rod is for the back of him who lacks heart. Isn't that something? So I didn't have a problem with the Karens. The wise treasure of knowledge. But the mouth of a fool is near ruin. Now, the rich man wealth is his strong city. The ruin of the poor is their poverty. The wage of the righteous is for life. The increase of the wrong is for sin. He who heeds discipline in the way of life, but he who refuses, but he who refuses reproof goes astray. A lot of our people are going astray, aren't they?
Yeah, they're in the wrong path, sister.
Going in the wrong direction.
Moving in the wrong direction.
And moving and going.
Uh-huh.
He who hides hatred has lying lips. Isn't that something? That means don't hide the hatred. You have lying lips if you hide it.
Right, right.
Watch
so
that lips.
Was it Cartrell?
Cartrell.
Moscow Mitch.
Oh, Moscow Mitch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why I want to call him Caleb.
Yeah, he certainly do have hatred for us. Lying lips.
Yes, and then go backtrack it and say it was a slip. Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't. He's the one that wanted to make sure Obama didn't run for the second time.
Exactly. But, you know, I'm glad they got on their Christian center. I care less about their politics because all of it is toxic and poisonous. But now, for her to play the game and that's supposed to be your team, and then you're supposed to be a team player, and then you voting against what you're supposed to be voting for in the old smoking Joe Manchin, you know, same thing from West Virginia. And I'm glad her Democratic Party got on her. You know, the girl got a problem anyway. And when you don't even know your sexual orientation, something wrong with you anyway. She's a trisexual. Yeah, she's a trisexual. She's a tri any kind of sex. Yeah, she's a trisexual.
The rich man's wealth is a strong city. The ruin, okay, I read all that. Let me start with the wage of the righteous is for life. The increase of the wrong is for sin. He who heeds discipline is in the way of life, but he who refuses reproof goes astray. He who hides hatred has lying lips. That's why I stopped. And he who sends out a slander is a fool. Oh, I know people have lied about me. Ooh.
Well, you know, Sister Hootie, that's why I don't repeat tales. You know, if it ain't verified for information to solve a problem, I make it my business to stay out of there. Because if what you're repeating, you hear people, they gossip. And they, and it's not verifiable information. So I'm not a gossiper. I don't get into gossip. I don't get into terror band. Because that don't work for you. That works on you. And when people come to me, I say, is that verifiable information? Well, now, so-and-so down the street told me what the other fellow told him and the other girl told him and the folk before that told him. No, if they ain't verified for information, I don't want to hear that. That's toxic and poison. I don't want to hear that.
See, now, when words are many, transgression is not absent. And I know people have many words. But he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wrong is of little value. The lips of righteous shepherd many, but fools die for lack of heart. The blessing of Yah makes one rich, and he adds no pain with it. To work out wicked schemes, it is like, that is so true. But wisdom
It's for a man of understanding.
Yeah. Sister Hootie. Yeah, Sister Hootie. It's a game. It's a sport. It's a sport. Don't you see it every day? I see it every day. Wicked folk, they think wickedness and doing wicked, that's a sport. That's good. Let's lie on folk. Let's mistreat folk. Let's abuse some people. Let's talk about it in a rap song. And they think it's sport. But a righteous man or woman don't think that's sport.
Right. The wrong, 24. What the wrong one fears come upon him, but the desire of the righteous is granted. As the whirlwind passes by, the wrong one is no more. That means the wrong, I guess, is not going to exist. But the mm-hmm. righteous has an everlasting foundation. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who sin him. The fear of Yah prolongs days, but the years of the wrong ones are shortened. The righteous look forward to joy. Yes, we do. But the expectancy of the wrong ones perish. The way of Yah is a stronghold for the perfect, but ruin to the workers of wickedness. But ruin to the workers of wickedness. The righteous is never shaken, while the wrong shall not dwell in the earth. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. We keep hearing that wisdom. I love it. There you mm-hmm. go, wisdom. But the tongue of perverseness is cut out. Whew. The lips of the righteous know what is pleasing, but the mouth of the wrong speak perverseness. Hallelujah.
Praise Yah. That is certainly the case. I'm going to let Cartier give his commentary because I said I wasn't going to send him, but I was a little bit ongoing commentary. So I'm going to let Cartier give his commentary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, Cartier.
Hallelujah. If you notice, this particular proverb of King Solomon is multifaceted. It's telling you the difference between right and wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it is around what's coming out of people's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
One particular verse where it says, where there are many words, wrongdoing is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise. So it's not always good, you know, to speak your mind or throw thoughts out there or just babble on, like this is saying about somebody that babbles.
Mm-hmm.
It said, he who winks with the eye causes trouble, and a babbling fool will come to ruin.
Mm-hmm.
The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of light, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. So everything is like coming out your mouth, what you say, because your thoughts are expressed by what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're wise, you kind of guard your words because you can't take them back once you release them. So this psalm has so many virtues in it because it teaches you the path that we should be walking. And it gives you clear outlines that you should be doing and what we should not be doing. It says, what the wicked fears will come upon him, but the desires of the righteous will be granted. When a whirlwind passes, the wicked is no more. That's that judgment that Yah is bringing. But the righteous has an everlasting foundation. That's what we're not taught. Where is this everlasting foundation? And what does that mean? The everlasting foundation is for the righteous. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we don't learn about everlasting life in Western society. No way, no how. But our ancient fathers, through the Most High Yah, is teaching us, if you walk in front of the righteous path, you're setting yourself up for an everlasting foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about action. Like vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy one to those who send him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on a mission to do Yah's work, we can't be lazy. We have to be diligent, and we have to be about our business. And we know the fear of Yah is wisdom, and wisdom what prolongs life. But the years of the wicked will be shortened. So on and on, it teaches us how to live longer by walking in the path that the Most High has laid out for us. You got to watch your mouth. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom, but the perverted tongue will be cut out. So many of us on Faith Fool's book, spitting out all kind of stuff that we can't take back, and that's going to be cut off.
Right.
Godre, I'm such a hoodie. I'm going to say a favorite saying of people with a perverse mouth. This is my mouth. You can't tell me how to talk. Well, somebody needs to tell you how to talk. It's true.
You know where our wisdom come in? When we can pick up people, their actions, their, you know. We have to have discernment. And see, the problem, I'm going to tell you where it's problematic, because we have taken on, all of us have taken on some type of, what I call, influence of this country.
Right.
And we're trying to wean out what we know that is not proper, but at the same time, something, we shouldn't be confused, because some of the things are good things. Like when I talk sometimes, just like certain things I know, I've read up stuff what the government does, what laws they pass.
Right.
You know. And some laws it's common sense, go, oh, that's pretty good law, you know. It's just that this nation is being more obedient to the Most High than we are, because this nation is not allowing Israel to go further than, you know. But at the same time, we still can go further. It's about uniting. We always talk about unite, and it's not just economical. People are money. People think it's just money. No, it's not. So we got to have this type of temperament. The things what Cartier and you said, just for example, forgiving. I can agree. How can you forgive if someone did something bad to someone you love or even to yourself? I had a relative that was raped. An example. The truth. You're sitting in court, and the mother, of course, never believed that her son could have done that. And she walked up to my relative and called her a liar. So she's hurt. The young man served time in prison, and it was all evidence proved that he did it. Okay? Little did he know that one of the guards there grew up with this relative. So he was taken care of, if you know what I mean. And even though that's man's justice, maybe the Most High allowed that to happen. And
let me tell you.
Hmm?
I want to go back on verse 12. The Most High says, hate stirs up strife, right? But love.
So what?
Stirs up strife. But love covers all sins or offenses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it this way. There are people on this planet that hate us and have treated us terrible.
Mm-hmm.
What would cover their offenses but them showing love to us for what they've done? Not the other way around. Us showing love to them in spite of the hatred and the offenses that they've shown us. But how about all that hate they have for us and the strife that they stirred amidst of us? They want our forgiveness, and they have to do it by showing true love. That's when your offenses are covered.
Mm-hmm.
Like what you did in the past, and that hatred you have for us, mm-hmm. now that you're showing true love, it may cover the offenses that you did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But there's got to be some acknowledgement upon the person that did all that hatred stirring up for whatever reason for me to cover that. But just to say, go on national TV and somebody to kill and rape my daughters and children, my wife, and it burnt my house down, even the dog in the house. Now I'm going to get on national TV. It's a, oh, I love you. And they sitting there looking at me like they want to cut my throat. No, no.
Well, he answered it. We've all agreed. If they show love, genuine, if they, you know, then it's a different story, but they don't. So I say walk away. What bothers me sometimes about us is that we've experienced it when that judge hugged that woman, that police officer. She was a woman of color. I thought that was horrible. She shouldn't have did it. That's just my opinion. I wouldn't have did it. I haven't. I've been in situations I could. I'm like, nope, because what I know. But it's not a, I don't hate the person. When I say hate, I don't feel that person is justified any love. I think that's what you're saying. Any
right.
compassion towards me, I mean, towards them. That's what I mean.
I think they that it's contingent in that. There's contingent for compassion and mercy. That's based upon acknowledgement. But there's no contingency for that. It's just somebody kicked my phone. I'm supposed to get to, I love you. We've been loving on this country for 402 years. Where has it gotten us? Where has our love gotten us? It's gotten us more hatred stirred up from our enemies, our oppressors. They ain't gotten us anywhere. I mean, we're supposed to hate wickedness. And if they continue in their continuum of wickedness, I hate wickedness. All wickedness. So if they're going to continue in their wickedness, I'm going to hate it. Now, if they stop deceased, and desist from what they're doing and acknowledge what they're doing, then I got some mercy and compassion. I don't have no national TV. I forgive you for anything you do. Just keep on doing it to me. No, I ain't got it like that.
Yeah, they have to change. They have to change. First the acknowledgement with words, then with action.
Exactly.
So really, it's a higher mindset. It's really the mindset that the Most High has. Because the things that we've done to the Most High is stirred up hatred and strife by not obeying what Yah told us to do.
Right.
But the fact that he loves us and we have to return that love to him and acknowledge what we've done, that's the higher level. He's looking for the love from us before he returns that love back to us. Not just the love, but actions on our part that show that we love and asking him for forgiveness. So as Yah is, I mean, you know, all the nations of the world didn't do to us what, you know, our oppressors did. But there's some things these people got to pay for because they were wicked. And all of them didn't do it, but they have opportunity to show love.
Right.
So.
Right. That's real. You know, I have a, I started it, Elders in the Scripture of Life. And Shemaiah and Hador are executives, administrators. I was an administrator. I don't know how I bowed out. And make a long story short, I guess the Most High had them as administrators, which I wanted Hador, but she is, and Shemaiah. And it's for the elders. That's in UN. It's any for any elders, but it's a forum. That's why I use media to be a form of something positive as well as in between the junk stuff. So y'all check it out. You can post whatever you want. It's Elders in the Scripture of Life, and it gives a lot of good information. A lot of good information. So check it out.
So that very saying applies to us as a people too, because we've hated ourselves and we've hated each other. And what's going to cover these transgressions of all this hate and strife that we stirred up with each other? The fact that we have to love each other, right?
Okay.
Which is a command from Yah anyway. Love your brother as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you hate your brother, you want to stir up strife with your brother, you can never reach the point where the offenses that you committed are forgiven. So imagine all the people that offended you personally in your life, family members, friends, they realize what they did, they confess what they did, and they started showing you love. How would you feel then about the world?
Because, you know, personally speaking, I don't like confrontation. I'd rather sit down and talk it out. We ain't got to talk over each other. I'll listen, but give me the respect. I use that to listen to me. And we don't take time just to hear really what that person is saying or feedback what that person is saying. That's the start.
And you can start with your family, your family members, and your friends.
So you know
that they're supposed to love you because that's where love starts, in your family first.
So, Shehudi, that's where the dilemma comes in right here. We're looking for respect. I could care less about respect. I ain't signed no contract nobody respect me. I care less about your respect. I respect me. But what I do care about is common courtesy. I don't need your respect. I don't need to exist with nobody's respect. None of my Hebrew brothers and sisters, none of my oppressors. I don't need your respect. But what I do need is your common courtesy. And I'm like King Darwin in this respect. I look for peace, but you want war. And I'm going to crush you if that's the way you want to come at me. If you want to come at me like that, King Darwin, I'm going to crush you like dust. I'm not looking for war like you said, Yusuf. But I'm saying, if they coming at me with all this hatred, all this toxicity and poison, I'm going to crush you like dust. And y'all said King Darwin is a man out of my own heart. This man didn't want no trouble. He wasn't looking for no trouble. But if you bring it to me, I'm going to give you all the trouble you want and then some. But I'm not looking for it, but I'm going to give you what you're looking for. I'm not looking for no hatred, but I'm going to give you what you're looking for. I'm trying to forgive you. I'm trying to get along with you. Y'all is the same way. Y'all ain't just going to forgive nobody. And you still at y'all. You still cursing y'all. You still following every other item. And y'all supposed to just, I just love them. That's all right. It don't work like that. There's contingencies in play with y'all. There's codification. And there's contingencies in play with us in codification. So we had to look at y'all, look at King David, who the Most High said is a man. His man said it in Psalms. I look for peace, but you want war. I'm going to crush you like dust.
I think the prophet Moses is a better example because Moshe dealt with the whole nation and all their trials and tribulations and their troubles, but he wasn't confrontational with them.
Right.
That's why the Most High chose him, because he was humble and able to deal with the issues of the people.
Because the Most High didn't say Moshe was a man after my own heart. With the Most High said King Darwin, let me finish. The Most High said King Darwin was a man after my own heart.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And King David's responsibilities was greater than what Moses had, because he's running the government, whereas Moshe was trying to develop the government. And he had to have way more patience than King David, because they had more of an order under King David than they did under Moshe, who was trying to instill the order.
But look at King Darwin in all its entirety. You remember when he was ran out of the city of Jerusalem, and that Benjamite was down there talking bad to him. Now, if King Darwin just didn't care about his folk, he'd have crushed him. But King Darwin knew there was a time and place. Yeah, right. There was a time and place for everything with everybody. Right.
Well, you can't just bring drama to anybody just because they bring drama to you. King Saul brought mad drama to King David, but he wouldn't touch him.
That's what I'm saying. Well, what I'm saying, contrary to Sister Hootie, is this. There is no cookie-cutter form when it comes to every individual. You have to deal with every individual that the Most High, you pray to the Most High, like King Darwin, he would go to the Most High. How can I deal with this situation? And you have to deal with that situation the same way, because there is no cookie-cutter platform to deal with everybody the same way. So my suggestion is this. I respect what you said about Moshe, and you're right in the development of the nation. But King Darwin ruled the nation, and he knew that there was time and place for everybody when you're dealing with everybody. There's no cookie-cutter platform to deal with everybody. That's why King Darwin always went to the Moshe. What should I do about him? What should I do about her?
Well, so did Moshe. Moshe went, this is something here. You're different. I don't know why I want to call you Caleb, you Cotriel. I keep wanting to say Caleb. Cotriel, you and I, we're all three different, but and we're all in our own lane, but we're going the same direction, okay? Yet, we all in our heart know who the Most High is, and we're growing to even know him better and to improve in our life. Both of you are correct. That was the time Moses had a personality, that he was patient. Sometimes he was, he was personal friend, you could say, of Most High, where King David was a man after his own heart. Both of them loved the Creator, period. And they dealt with situations that were that came upon them the best way they knew how through the Most High. So either one of you, it's just both of you have points. Both of you. And there's no, I'm just saying this, not that you're competing, that's not what I'm saying, but these two men, of course, weren't competing under the circumstances and the time frame. They dealt with what they dealt with, but what did they do? They still communicated. That's what's more important.
Well, because at the end of the day, Contrell and I are going to be on the same page as we are now. But that being said, you got two elders, you got youths or what not in our nation. At the end of the day, we on y'all's team. So no matter how Yum Soup look at it or how Cartrell look at it, nobody's on Yum Soup team. Nobody's on Cartrell team. We on y'all's team at the end of the day. And we're going to still love each other. And we'll still have common courtesy with one another. And that's what all that matters to me. I'm going to still, after this study show is over with, I'm not going to see any Cartrell, and I suspect he's not going to see me any less than what he sees me, because he know Yum Soup rules. And Cartrell sort of like Mose in a sense, and mixed with King Dawood. But he know Yum Soup is much more on the vein. It's like Joshua. I ain't got no time for the nonsense. But that don't mean that we ain't family, we ain't brothers, we're going to break bread together. We're going to love one another, have common courtesy together. And this ain't about no argument. This is about getting to the core of the matter. Is this. There's a time and place for everything under the sun. And so that's why we all should, I implore everybody, every student on this talk show to go to Yah. Forget what Yum Soup said. Don't follow Yum Soup across the street. You get run over. But go to Yah in any situation that you have to contend with. Seek the Most High first and foremost, and let the Most High direct and order yourself. If you follow me, you'll get run over crossing the street, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. Cartrell?
Yes, sir.
Any closing remarks on that, my brother?
Proverbs chapter 10. Is a benchmark for the path that you want to take, because within it is that everlasting foundation. You ain't trying to get there, then you're leaning on your own understanding.
Right.
This is such a great guide, you know, in so many ways. Can we discipline ourselves through control?
Exactly.
What we speak, because you can't take the words back that you speak. So
exactly.
Guard your words, because life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Exactly. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, at the end of the day, fellow students, Cartrell and I and Sister Hootie, we're just lead students, and we're learning in the process. We're sharpening each other, and that's what we should do. We should sharpen each other, get rid of the burrs, the edges, and make each other sharp, not try to get one up on one another. That ain't what this is about. This is about making each other sharp, making each other see things from different perspectives, and loving one another in the process, helping, encouraging, and motivating one another. That's our mandate right there. If you don't know what the mandate is, let me break it down to you like you're 4 years old. We're in this captivity, right? How do we remedy our problem? Well, we turn to the Most High. We cry out to the Most High. We unify together. We help, encourage, and motivate one another, lift each other up, and we sharpen each other. Not stick a knife in each other. We don't do that. So don't get it twisted. Yum Soup, Yum Soup and Cartrell ain't arguing about nothing. Don't put no words in our mouth, okay? We're saying the same thing from different perspectives. So, Sister Hootie, what's your closing remarks?
Well, it's a good discussion. And love you dearly, brother. You get a little long-winded. I forget what I'll say. Sometimes that's why I say no comment, because I'm like,
sound like the pot calling the kettle black here.
Oh, I'm only long-winded when I'm deep. Yes, I am. See, I'm honest. I'm gonna be honest. Cartrell tell you. I can get long-winded. Ooh, yes. Ooh, hallelujah.
I already know. I already know.
I forget, but you know what? I take it in stride because there's another day that he's given me that I'm coherent, I guess so, and coherent as I can be, and I can, and if it's important, I remember. That's how I look at it. I just try to be a little more laid back nowadays. Life's too short. I tell the people out there, share with them that we got trials and tribulations. I've been putting out through, and that's the best that I can through the media, about, think about the people that are homeless in this cold weather, the people that lost their home for whatever reason. The fires now that has erupted again in California as well as Colorado. We can complain all we want, what we don't have. I can sit here, like I said, for a good 15 minutes and talk about the things going on in my life. But I know someone that's probably, it's worse. So with that, shalom, have peace, and I'll talk to you later. Shalom.
Thank you very much, sister. Brother Cottrell from New York City, my dear brother, what's your closing remarks?
All praise to the Holy One, Yisrael. I love y'all, family. I'm not long-winded, because we'd be here till like 10 o'clock if I was. I could be, but I choose not to be, because there's so much to absorb when we're going over in these scriptures. And we should pay, you know, critical attention to what's being said and don't just brush over it, because so many jewels that will help us to develop into the beings that the Most High wants us to be. So we have to be able to understand it, explain it, express it, share it with our children, our family, with our people, so we can be the wise ones to give counsel in the ways of the Most High. So I give thanks and praise to the Most High for the opportunity to even learn more and more as we go along. And I pray that he be with us to make us stronger spiritually, mentally, and physically in these trying times that we live in. My prayer goes out to the people that are suffering at this moment in time, that Yah hears their cry, hears their prayer, and answers them when they call out to him. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah. Well, fellow students, this was a lively discussion, but don't get the game twisted. Cartrell and I, Sister Hootie and I, we're dear friends, and we'll give each other the shirt off our back. Just because we have lively discussion, don't get the game twisted. We're not on Yom Suf's team. We're not on Cartrell's team. We're not on Sister Hootie's team. We're on the team of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And be that as it may, being on this team, we sharpen each other. That's all this is, sharpening each other. Not trying to be discourteous. Not trying to be showing lack of common courtesy. We have the utmost regard for each other, as the Most High compels us to do, and have unification in the process, because we know we are mandated to do so. But most important, we're here to tell you about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, who he is, what he is, and what he's about, and the expectation from you. Don't trust what Yom Suf said. Don't follow Yom Suf, because Yom Suf will get you run over. Trust the word of Yah. Study the word of Yah. Don't take my word at it. Take the Most High word for it, because therein lies your solution and our answers. Praise the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and bless his holy name. That being said, fellow students, we don't know where you're going, but you're finna get ready to get out of here. You've been listening to Real Talk for Real People Show, a show that is designed to give you a bird's eye view of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. We hope you take these studies to heart and you share these studies. And we pray that the Most High continue to direct and order your steps so you can stop leaning to your own understanding. It ain't cute. It ain't working for you. It's working on you. Fellow students, so Shehuda and Cottrell, you want us to say long, good night, adios, amigos to the people?
Good night, fellow students. Most I bless you. Visit that website, yahwillgather.us. yahwillgather.us.
So Shehuda? I guess when she went off the reservation, she went all the way off country. So, Judy, your mic is here. You want to say shalom, good night? All right, then. May the most high bless you. What's that, Katria?
Well, she's boiling them eggs again.
Quit it. She burst some more eggs. All right.
No.
All right. We love y'all. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.
Baby, I'm amazed at the way you love me all the time. Maybe I'm afraid of the way I love you. Maybe I'm amazed at the way you pulled me out of time, hung me out on a line. Maybe I'm amazed at the way I really need you. Maybe I'm a woman, a lonely woman in the middle of something that I don't rightly understand. Maybe I'm a woman, you're the only man who could ever help me. Daddy, help me understand. Maybe I'm amazed when you're with me all the time. Maybe I'm afraid of the way I leave you. Maybe I'm amazed the way you help me with my song. Right me when I'm wrong. I'm afraid of the way I really need you. Maybe I'm amazed. Maybe I'm amazed.